Chapter 23. Five flies forward at top speed. He holds his blaster by the barrel, not bothering to shoot it. Instead, he wields the weapon like a club. He hits the line of Moog warriors like a whirlwind, caving in their skulls with his weapon's handle. As he dusts one Moog, he grabs a second blaster from the Moog's disintegrating hand. When one of the warriors tries to leap on his back, Five throws a vicious elbow, his metal carapace causing a resounding crunch. He shoves one Moog back with telekinesis, lets him bounce off the wall, then headbutts him to the ground. I've never been so happy to see Five. "Traitor! Beloved leader gave you everything!" Fury Dunra shrieks at Five. She unleashes a fireball in his direction. Five ducks to the side. His bathrobe catches on fire, but the heat doesn't harm his metal skin. "He gave me nothing!" Five yells back and flings one of his blasters end over end at Fury. It hits her right between the eyes and knocks her off her feet. Dark blood coats her face, her nose broken. If I was Fury Dunra, I would have caught that blaster with my telekinesis, no problem. I realize that just because Fury is capable of stealing my legacies, that doesn't mean she knows how to use them. She's lashing out with one legacy at a time, trying to do the most damage while not playing any defense. It gives me an opening. With Fury stunned, I wrap my hands around the Voron noose and yank it out of her grasp. I pull it over my head before any of her cronies can stop me. Most of them are too distracted with Five anyway. Now, I just need to get her piercing tentacles out of my back. Fury's pushed herself up on her elbows, shaking off Five's blow. I lunge forward from my knees and drive my forearm right into her throat, trying to cave in her windpipe. She gurgles once and then reacts. I feel a tearing sensation in my back as Fury's tentacles lift me off of her. They turn me over and send me straight up, face first into the ceiling, and then back down to the floor. I'm dazed, the wind knocked out of me, a tooth loose in my mouth. I'm still hooked to Fury Dunra. I can hear her coughing, as well as the dull, bludgeoning sounds of Five working his way through the Vatborn squadron. When my eyes finally focus, I notice the thin Moog has edged closer to the fray. He cups his hands in front of his mouth and exhales another cloud of those spores he used to mind control Mark and the soldiers. In the darkened hallway, the only light Five's smoldering robe, the spores look like a cloud of spiders. "Five!" I manage to yell, tasting blood as I do. "Watch out! Don't breathe those in!" Five slams one of the last Vatborn to the ground just as I finish my warning. He turns his head, confused, and sees the spores coming at him. His chest puffs out as he tries to hold his breath, but they're already all over his mouth and nose. They move with a mind of their own, forcing their way up his nostrils and through his lips. No, if they mind control Five, all will be lost. No one will survive this place. I try to shove myself towards the thin Moog, but Fury's tentacles are still digging into my back. I'm too weak. The telltale black veins are already spreading across Five's face. His grip loosens on his blaster, and his skin goes back to normal. His back arches as the burning robe comes in contact with his normal flesh.
"Yes," the thin Moog commands. "Don't fight it."
Five glares murderously at the thin Moog. He's frozen in place, though, his muscles twitching out of his control. "Hey." The thin Moog manages to half-turn at the voice. That's the last thing he does. Sam, having crept out from one of the nearby cells, pulls the trigger on a blaster at point-blank range. The shot takes the back of the thin Moog's head clean off. The hallway is suddenly filled with those spores like a piñata burst. It's like the thin Moog's entire head was packed with the moldy growths, the things now floating harmlessly to the floor, where they wilt and turn to ash. Rattled, Five sneezes and spits, shaking off the thin Moog's grasp.
John,
Sam starts to say, but then his eyes widen, and he dives back into the cell just ahead of a jagged piece of dark-colored ice. Fiery Dunra is back on her feet. She reels me towards her, using her tentacles. With most of her backup dead, her eyes are suddenly wild and desperate. Extraction! She shrieks into an earpiece. I need extraction! Five rams into her, grabbing her around the throat with two hands. His skin is the speckled white and black of the tile floor. Fury lets a gout of fire loose in Five's face, but it only singes his carapace and makes him angrier. His hands tighten around her neck. It's a relief when one of Fury's tentacles slides out of my back. That feeling doesn't last long. Fury lashes the oily appendage around Five's neck and lifts him off the ground so that his feet are no longer touching the tile floor. His skin loses its hardened coating. Now it's back to normal, and Fury is able to squeeze his throat closed with her tentacle. Now it's Five wheezing for breath.
Let's see what you have for me, boy, Fury says.
The sharpened end of her tentacle slaps across Five's face, seeking out his empty eye socket. She's going to attach herself to Five like she's attached herself to me. That's when I see Five's blade lying abandoned on the floor. One of the Moogs he dusted must have been carrying it.
Five!
I shout, trying to get his attention as he starts to turn blue. I stretch my leg out as far as I can and kick the blade towards him. I hope he can hear it skittering across the floor. Before Fury can plug into Five, he uses his telekinesis to yank his blade towards him and strap it to his arm. It's so smooth, I get the sense that's not the first time Five's practiced that move. And what comes next? Well, I know Five's got experience in this area. With maniacal glee, Five stabs at Fury Dunra. He hacks away at the tentacle around his neck until it's nothing but pulp, and he's able to drop to the floor. His skin takes on the hardened tile texture again, just in time to absorb a desperate burst of fire from Fury. Undeterred, Five goes right for the mass of ooze attached to her shoulder, mutilating it until the tentacles attached to me drop loose and wither to ash. Fury screams in frustration. Even as her sick appendage keeps regrowing, every time it does, Five seems almost glad to get another chance to slash it apart. I'd almost forgotten how sadistic he is.
Just kill her, Five!
I yell, edging backwards across the floor and grimacing as I notice the size of the blood trail I leave behind.
Don't rush me, he snarls.
The Shadow Moog emerges from the darkness behind Fury Dunra. This must be the extraction she was screaming for a few seconds ago. He wraps his arms around Fury's waist and yanks her backwards, the shadows like liquid around them swallowing them up. Except Five doesn't let go. He buries his blade in Fury's shoulder and launches himself through the shadows after them. The teleportation is completely soundless. One second they're here, and the next, the hallway is completely still. Wherever the Shadow Moog brought Fury to, he took Five with them.
John!
Sam falls to his knees on the floor next to me.
I can tell by the look on his face that I'm a mess. There are puncture wounds on my side and my back, broken bones in my arm, and deep gashes around my neck. Everything is sticky with my blood. I'm all right, I tell him.
Shit, no, you are definitely not, he replies. Can you heal?
I am healing, I say.
Sam looks down at me.
No. You're bleeding.
It's going to happen slow. Now that I'm separated from Fury Dunra, I feel my legacy's gradually returning. With some effort, I lift up my arm and examine the puncture wound underneath it. The black oil is slowly seeping out of me, pushed out by my legacy as it struggles to knit my body together. Once all that's cleared from my system, I hope my powers will be fully charged. It'll just be a matter of me having the strength left to use them. Sam rips off a piece of his t-shirt and clamps it to my neck.
This cut isn't closing even a little, he says.
It won't, I tell him. I weakly hold up the noose. They use that Voron noose on me, like what Pittacus used on Cetricus Ra.
Oh, man, you're going to have a scar,
Sam mumbles, shaking his head. There's movement on the ceiling. I spot the Shadow Moog just in time. He falls feet first out of the darkness, a blaster pointed at us, back to finish us off. I shove Sam off me and roll onto my back. The blast burns into the wall between us. Sam reacts swiftly, getting his blaster oriented to return fire. The Moog drops straight down into another patch of shadows on the floor and disappears through them. Keep your head on a swivel, I warn as I sit up, clutching the noose. The Shadow Moog walks out of one of the darkened cells behind me. I don't turn around in time, but Sam uses his telekinesis to knock the Moog's blaster aside. His latest shot sizzles into the floor next to me. With a frustrated grunt, our enemy again dives towards some darkness. I fling the noose towards him. It isn't my brightest idea. Without my telekinesis, there's no way I can make that throw. Luckily, Sam catches on quickly and uses his own telekinesis to guide my impromptu lasso. We get the noose around the Shadow Moog's head before he disappears, and I yank back on it with what little strength I have left. I'm hoping to take his head clean off, but no such luck. The Shadow Moog stops mid-teleport, waist-deep in shadow, and clutches the noose. It's a tug-of-war, and he's winning. The Voron rope, slick with blood, starts to slide through my hands.
Behind you! Sam yells.
I manage to flick a glance over my shoulder. The Shadow Moog's legs are 10 yards down the hall, emerging from another pocket of shadows. He's just going to keep teleporting through the darkness until he wears us down. The Voron rope slips a little farther out of my hands.
Lights on! Sam shouts.
All at once, the lights in the hallway come back on, brighter than ever. No more shadows. The Moog lets out a gasp. His torso flops to the ground in front of us, and his legs drop behind us. He's been cut in a perfectly straight line through the waist. I yank the noose through his neck with little resistance. He's already beginning to disintegrate. Nicely done, I tell Sam as he kneels down next to me.
Guy was really pissing me off, Sam grumbles, once again fussing over the cut on my neck. This is going to need stitches, man.
I put my hand over his as he applies pressure. Sam, where's your dad?
He's fine. I mean, he was the last time I saw him. There was no way out, so he and the other scientists hid down in the old library. The Chimerae were keeping them safe. He's got my homemade cloaking devices. I ran off to let out our secret weapon psychopath there before Dad could stop me.
Sam takes a breath and looks around.
Where's Mark?
I compress my lips and shake my head. Sam looks away from me.
God damn them, he says quietly. God damn them for all this shit.
We both go silent at the sound of gunfire from an adjoining hallway. The shooting is cut off by an animalistic roar, desperate screams soon following. That's gotta be the huge deformed augment that I saw upstairs, the Piken Moog. It's close. Sam looks at me.
Can you fight?
I grimace and manage to create a weak ball of fire with my lumen. As soon as I do, my healing legacy stops working, and my torso is pure agony. I extinguish the flame and focus on healing, shaking my head at Sam.
Not yet, I say. Then we better move, he replies. unless you want to try that lasso trick again.
No thanks, I say. This one doesn't teleport. He knocks down walls.
Sam gets his arms under me and gently helps me to my feet. I fling my good arm over his shoulders, the other clutched against my stomach, and we shuffle quickly down the hall. Sam's got one arm around my waist, and the other points a blaster straight ahead. Behind us, the heavy footsteps and grunting of the Piken Moog echo, slowly becoming more distant.
You know what I thought the first day I met you in school? Sam asks me, his voice low, breathing heavily.
I raise an eyebrow at the question. No. What?
I thought, here's a guy who's going to make me carry him halfway across New York City and then later through a top-secret underground military base while he bleeds all over the place. I hope we can be best friends.
I actually laugh at that, even though it hurts my punctured ribs.
You've gotten really good at it, I say.
Yeah, thanks, Sam replies with a grim smile.
We edge around a corner, and a gunshot rings out. I feel the bullet whiz right past my cheek.
Hold your fire, yells Agent Walker. God damn it, they're ours!
Agent Walker stands with an assault rifle at the ready, her face smeared with ash, a nasty-looking blaster burn on one of her legs. In front of her, one of them still aiming a pistol in our direction, are the twins, Caleb and Christian. It was the dead-eyed one, Christian, who took a shot at us. Caleb punches him in the arm to get him to finally lower his gun.
Sorry, Caleb says, nodding towards Sam's blaster. We saw the blaster coming around the corner and...
Don't sweat it, Sam says. I've been getting shot at for a long time.
Good God, if you're here, how are we losing?
That comment, directed at me, comes from General Lawson. He's sandwiched between Walker and the twins, like they're his bodyguards. The whole unflappable grandfather act is out the window. Lawson looks like crap. His uniform is torn and bloodstained. He's got an open gash over his eyebrow, and he looks about 10 years older than I remember.
They got the drop on me, I say through gritted teeth. I'm out of the fight for now.
They got the drop on all of us, Walker says with a glare in Lawson's direction. She walks over to my side and helps Sam support my weight.
You're going to heal, right?
Mostly, I reply. The punctures are only now beginning to close up, oily black residue leaking out of them.
Is there anywhere safe? Sam asks.
We tried to break through their ranks at the garage,
Lawson says, his expression darkening.
Took heavy losses while they kept bringing in reinforcements. They've got a teleporter.
Not anymore, Sam says.
Did you know about that?
Lawson asks, looking at me.
They have legacies?
Those aren't legacies. They're sick copies. Augmentations, I say. But no, they're a new thing.
They stole that from you,
Lawson says, putting two and two together.
That's what you were talking about at the meeting the other day.
We should keep moving, Walker puts in.
Lawson shakes his head, still looking at me.
I was not fully informed just how foobard we are.
We were doubling back towards the elevators, Walker says, taking over. We hoped there would be less resistance.
Might be, I say. Five just took out a squadron that came down with me. Not sure how many more, but... We all hear it at the same time. Heavy footfalls bounding down a hallway. Too close.
There's a big one, I tell them. It's hunting. It's...
Tearing people apart,
Lawson says.
We saw the bodies.
Sam glances at Christian.
It probably heard your shot.
We need to go, Walker says. Now!
We push on, hustling through one hallway, then zagging down another. The pike in Moog has our scent, though. I can hear it behind us, getting closer, wailing excitedly. I realize that I'm the one slowing us down. I glance over my shoulder and see its mammoth shadow moving down the hallway we just left. Go, I tell the others. Get to the elevator, I'll hold it off. I have no idea how I'm going to do that, but they don't need to know that.
John, don't be stupid, Sam says. He drags me along and I'm powerless to stop him.
You're a brave kid, Lawson grumbles. But you're our biggest asset. If we get out of this, we're going to need you.
The pike in Moog comes into view about 50 yards down the hall. It roars, excited to finally have us in its sights. The thing, barely more than an animal, beats its thick fists against the scarred flesh of its bulging pectorals. Lawson turns to Caleb and Christian.
You're up.
The twins nod in unison. Christian immediately turns around and starts walking right towards the pike in Moog.
Stop! I yell at him, then turn to Lawson. Are you crazy? You can't just send him to die!
At first, the pike in Moog seems confused by this development, some remnant of its trueborn brain registering that this solitary human must be insane. But then, with a line of drool dangling from his underbite, the pike in Moog charges, bearing down on Christian.
It's okay, Caleb interrupts. Watch!
Of course I watch. I couldn't look away if I wanted to, even as we back down the hallway. Christian unloads his gun into the pike in Moog, but the bullets are either absorbed or deflected by its thick hide. Lawson grimaces.
Was hoping bullets might do it.
That's your plan? Sam shouts wide-eyed.
The gorilla-sized Moog reaches Christian in seconds and claps his hand over the kid's head. He hoists him up like that and smashes him first against the wall, then against the floor. Christian doesn't make a sound. He even keeps on shooting. And then, after a particularly sickening slam against the floor, Christian evaporates in a burst of blue energy. The pike in Moog looks stunned.
What the?
Sam exclaims. Next to me, Caleb begins to glow. His whole body begins to vibrate, blurring, splitting apart. A second later, there are two more of him. Two brand new twin versions of Caleb. They blink their eyes, getting their bearings, then look at the original. Caleb nods towards the pike in Moog, and they sprint into a hopeless battle. He never had a twin brother. It's a legacy. He can duplicate himself.
Two at a time, Lawson says. Getting better, son.
Thanks,
Caleb replies as we retreat. He looks a little wobbly. Behind us, I hear the pike in Moog thrashing these newest twins. A glance over my shoulder reveals that they're playing it smarter than Christian did, using hit and run to distract the brute. They won't last long, but they should at least slow him down.
I have questions for you, I say to Caleb.
I figured you would, he says, not meeting my eyes.
But all of them can wait, except one, I continue. How many duplicates can you create?
Not enough, he replies, swallowing hard. It's hard. I'm only learning.
That beast is shrugging off bullets like they're mosquitoes, Sam adds. We need to lose this thing until one of us with every legacy can take him down.
I glance down at myself, looking at my wounds. Closer now. I can feel my power slowly returning. I also feel lightheaded on account of all the blood lost. Our group takes a few sharp turns through the twisty subterranean hallways. I think we've doubled back at this point. We pass bodies, places where battles took place, but no one is alive. There's a good chance we're the only ones left. Soon, we hear the thumping footsteps again, the snarling, the knuckle dragging.
Bastard doesn't give up,
Lawson says. I try to fire up my lumen as a test, but again, my body clenches in agony. Every ounce of me needs to be dedicated to healing right now. We turn another corner and... shit! A line of vat-born Moogs with their blasters pointed in our direction block the entire hallway. Walker, still under one of my arms, shoves me hard to the side and brings up her rifle. As I fall towards the floor, knocking into Sam as I do, the agent sprays down the entire line of Moogs. Chunks of them ricochet through the hallway. The Moogs are frozen in stone.
What the hell? Walker says.
You really saved our lives there, Sam says.
Shut up, Good.
I look around. Daniela was here. If... A roar from behind us. The Pike and Moog again barrels into view.
Through here!
Caleb yells, already helping Lawson squeeze between two stone Mogadorians.
These should at least slow him down.
I'm not so sure about that. The Pike and Moog is charging hard, its shoulders lowered. It'll plow right through us and those stone Moogs. It's now or never. Damn the pain. I start to build up a fireball in my hands, even though doing so makes my whole body clench up.
Get down!
Someone shouts. I duck my head just as a silver beam of energy streaks from behind the Moog statues and hits the Piken Moog. It spreads across his massive frame, slowly wrapping him in a stone covering. He's frozen about 10 yards from us, fists raised in the air, mouth open in a bloodthirsty cry. Done using her stone gaze, Daniela rubs her temples like she's got a splitting headache. Seeing me and Sam, she cocks her hip and raises an eyebrow.
Is this, like, my official role with you people, monster stoner and saver of asses? Because...
Daniela trails off as she sees the kind of shape I'm in.
God damn, man.
Yeah, thanks for the help, I say, squeezing her shoulder as I climb through her wall of statues. Daniela is scuffed up like everyone, but overall in pretty good shape. There are stone Moogs everywhere in this hallway. She's been wearing out her legacy.
Oi, you made it,
says Nigel. He and Ran are huddled in between some Moog statues, using them as a hiding spot. The British kid is pale, the wounds he suffered against Fury Dunra still bleeding heavily. I nod, feeling guilty, like I let them down. Too much death here. Too much destruction. Come on, I say. Let's get the hell out of here. Patience Creek has gone quiet. Without anything chasing or shooting at us, our ragtag group makes the elevator without a problem. It still works, although we have to spend some time clearing out a couple of bodies. There are a lot of those, and not enough survivors. We head to the lowermost level first and find Malcolm, along with a few scientists, Agent Noto, and the 5 Chimerae. All the animals made it through the fighting with nothing worse than some singed fur and, in Bandit's case, a mangled tail. Everyone, humans and Chimerae alike, looked downright exhausted. After that, we start to search the other floors. We don't encounter anything but death until we reach the uppermost level, the one where Lawson previously kept his control center. There we're drawn to the sound of televisions tuned to what sound like a dozen terrified newscasts. 5 stands in Lawson's office, his back to the door, watching the news on the wall of screens. He extends his blade when he hears us coming, but quickly sheathes it once he realizes that we aren't Moogs.
She got away,
5 says simply, sounding frustrated.
They had a staging area a few miles south of here in the forest. Took off when they realized the tide was turning. I know how they operate. They'll be back soon with reinforcements.
Sam and I enter the room cautiously while 5 speaks. the rest of our group waiting outside. Five wears a set of fatigues that he either found lying around Patience Creek or stripped off a dead soldier. I guess the latter is more likely, considering the blood splatters on the camouflage.
"You going to try locking me up again?"
Five asks, looking at me over his shoulder. "No," I reply.
"Good."
Sam and I come to stand alongside Five, the three of us staring at the monitors. The Mogadorian bombardment has begun. We're looking at footage from at least 10 different cities, all of them being slowly erased by warship fire. My eyes bounce from catastrophe to catastrophe, eventually settling on the Arc de Triomphe as it crumbles down the middle, its two pillars breaking apart against each other.
"This planet is toast," Five says.
Sam ignores him and looks at me.
"What now, John?"
"We throw everything we have at them," I say immediately, glancing in Five's direction. "Everything. And we either end this war, or we die trying."